We worship the Lord not only with our lips, but with our lives. Our devotion, our entire givenness to Him. Oh, that we might be all for Jesus. Is that your desire? All for Jesus, He who gave His all, demands our all, not withholding. I lay before Him myself. I offer Him myself. In considering our time here at the camp, I came across something in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. There you have an account of how the Macedonians responded to Paul's desire that they assist. Now, the background of this assist in helping alleviate the suffering that had arisen as a result of a dearth that had come upon the land. In the Acts 11:28, it says that Agabus prophesied that there would be a dearth over all the world. And it came to pass in the time of Claudius Caesar. And so the brethren, they got together and they sent Paul and Barnabas to take a collection to meet the need. And so Paul went as far, they went as far as Macedonia. And we're told how these people, in their poverty and affliction, they were very liberal in their giving. And he said, beyond what we expected. And you have that in the second, in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 5th verse. Now, I have a problem with seeing. And so, someone find that passage.
And not only as
now stand up and read it out loud, so we all hear, okay?
And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God.
Praise the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They recognized that they belonged to the Lord. He had blessed them. He had wrought a work of salvation in them. They owed the Lord everything. And they gave themselves to the Lord. I was thinking of my time of service in the Air Force. There's a parallel. I can draw a parallel here because it was on my 21st birthday, April 7th, that I was called to service. And so I had to surrender myself. And if you've never before recognized that you have no more claim to yourself, you would recognize it then. Now it was their responsibility to take care of me, and they did that well. But then to use me however they thought best. And I was drafted into the Air Force. Before you are taken into the service, you have to take an aptitude test. And by that they determine where they might best find you to serve. And so they thought I could serve best in the Air Force. And so I went into the Air Force. And then I would write home and say, this and this is going to take place. And then I found out that it never took place. The orders were changed. I was sent here and I was sent there. And so I waited until I arrived and then I wrote home. But the Lord was very good to me. Before I went into the service, He gave me 2 verses. I don't know how it happened, but they were given to me. I'll fight for you. Exodus 14:14. You hold your peace. And Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so I suppose I recall these verses almost daily. And I saw how God worked in my behalf. I was not a conscientious objector. I just committed myself to the Lord and to his direction, his leading, his guidance. And so the Lord led me. I never went overseas, although I went to Kearns, Utah. That was the most distant place that I went to, Kearns, Utah, the overseas replacement depot. But I never got overseas. Now, I just want to make this short in that for over a year, I was able to worship in my own church in Ridgewood every Sunday. That was at the end. I was in the Air Force, and it was customary. Our planes went up to LaGuardia from Maryland, and so I could take any one of those flights, and so I did. The war was over, and so there was little to do. I was a propeller specialist, and that saved me from going overseas. During the Battle of the Bulge, they took people out of the Air Force. And they didn't take me because I was a specialist in my duties and responsibilities as a propeller specialist. And so I asked for the night shift. Let me work the night shift. And there was nothing to do in the night shift. Nothing to do. So I got a quilt and put it out on the bench and went to sleep. I slept the night. But that enabled me then to, you know, to get up and go to church on Sunday. So on. And the Lord was so good. It's a good thing to leave the choices with him. He fought for me because I had a wicked boss. He was wicked. I mean, he was wicked. Sinful man. And he called me that I was the instigator of trouble because I insisted that things were done right. You know, in working on airplanes, whatever you do or perform, you have to sign it off. I did this task. Now, I did it to the best of my ability and the way I thought it should be done, and I signed that off. And there were things that he asked us to do that weren't right. And so I was the instigator of trouble, and he threw me out of the shop. He can't do that. I mean, you can't do that. But anyway, I went to the chaplain, and he put his arms around me and said, what's the matter? They called me Ted because my first name was Theodore. And there's nothing in the matter. And so the Lord worked in my behalf and brought me home. They gave themselves to the Lord. That was first. Now I belong to Jesus. And I trust that we've all done that. I believe we have. Given ourselves to him. Have thine own way, Lord, our brother played at the beginning. Have thine own way. Oh, Lord, that he might have his way with us here at the camp. And then the other thought is this, and he said, and they gave them to us in the will of God. You know, throughout life, there will be those who are over us. You can't escape that. If you're employed, you have a boss that's over you. In your assembly, there is a pastor who is over you. We ought to recognize that and yield ourselves, give ourselves, that we might be obedient. What does it say about the rulers? Obey them. that have the rule over you. And so it is here when we at camp. Are there those who are over you in the Lord? Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? Are you happy about that? There has to be some order. And so it is. We have Philip here. You know, some people, they just want to do what they want to do. They're going to serve the Lord, but they'll just do it on their own, and they don't seek any direction or any counsel. But we ought to give ourselves to those who are over us. You in the, as kitchen help, you have someone over you. They have Valerie. We're thankful for the cooks. They've done an excellent job as far as I'm concerned. And we appreciate your givenness in that regard. And Valerie, I know she has had helpers with her. They've worked together. And she gave testimony, and I appreciated that. Her effort, was to bring an offering to the Lord in what she prepared for us. It was as though she were bringing an offering to the Lord and offering herself and preparing the meals that we've all appreciated. But she's had those helpers with her, and they're working together. And so it is, you know, Philippians, Paul says that we ought to, he says to them that you want to strive together for the faith of the gospel, to bring the blessing of God into our midst. We have to work together. And so, thank God that we can give ourselves in a way of submission. Submit. We had a fellow who, he did not submit to his Sunday school teacher. So I went to him and I said, give me high fives. Yeah, like that. Yeah, give me two high fives. So I told him, I said, 1 Peter 5:5. And it says there, submit yourselves. And it also says that we ought to submit ourselves one to another. In the will of God and in the love of God, we can do that. Praise the Lord and be helpers one of another and serve the Lord here at camp and believe for the blessing of God to descend upon us as we first give ourselves, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Jesus, here I am. I'm yours, and it's your prerogative to do with me as you please. And if the Lord prompts you to pray or to sing or to whatever type of service he calls you to, you, I testify. Philip has, admonished us to do so, but has never made it mandatory. You know what that means? I have to do it. Oh, before the Lord, dear Lord. There was a sister here who testified along that line, and she said she knew she ought to say something, and so she asked the Lord to give her something to say, something meaningful, something that will bring blessing. And the Lord always gave her something to minister to us, those who were in the meetings. And so here I am, Lord. I think in that reading of my uncle that about the Pentecostal meeting, it suggests that we offer ourselves. The Lord doesn't expect one person to do everything. We're a body, and we are lively members in this body, and we ought to participate by looking to the Lord and see what he might have us to say, have us to do. And so we're all workers here at camp. Now, you might not say that you're a worker here. You haven't come. Well, you are a worker in the Lord's kingdom. And we're here to bless one another. Isn't that so? Oh, praise the Lord. And thinking of my daughter, Janet, maybe some of you know Janet. Even in college, she gave herself for ministry. We visited her. They were having a beach VBS in Cape Cod. And here she was participating in that. And I thought of Janet all through her life. She's gotten into something, into some type of service. Didn't Esther say that, you know what we can do? Don't pray by yourself maybe all the time, but seek someone out that can pray with you. That she was in college at that time. And I'll meet you there and we'll pray together. I did that in the service. I didn't ask people what church they attended. But we had common desire to pray, and so we came together and we prayed. We prayed, called on the Lord. And we could all do that. But when I think of my daughter, I think of that hymn, Jesus, use me. And dear Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And though it may be humble, help my will to crumble. Oh, Lord, I'll work for you. I'll work for you. And you've begun to give yourself to work for the Lord. And what might transpire in the days to come? I think my wife somewhere along the way ought to give her testimony. Because she came up here. She was one of the early secretaries. She left her job as secretary to two lawyers in the city and did that for 2 years, maybe. It was about 2 years. And then she came the third time and the Lord put it into her heart that she ought to give up her job. Just give up her job. So she came home and told her mother that she was going to give up her job. And her mother said, I'll give you 2 weeks. You'll find something. But in the interim, my uncle had been in Germany, in Europe. And he came home, and it was on a Friday night. And he walked through the aisles there, and he came to Martha and said, would you like to come into the faith home? And so she told her mother, I have a job. When she told her mother was somewhat disappointed. But she's been in the service of the Lord all these years and been a tremendous help to me. And so we don't know what the Lord's going to do if you'll say, oh, first give yourself to the Lord and then ask him what he'd have you to do. And he'll surely show you and lead you on into his service. So they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then Paul says to us, by the will of God, everything in the will of God. You placed me here, Lord. And so help me to learn. I think it's a word that many young people have taken out of their vocabulary. That's the word of submit. Submit. We need to learn, and I think children learn, submit to the proper authority. It's essential. And then we will submit, learn to submit to the Lord and obey him, do his will. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't use me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the task be great, I'll work for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.